Over the last few messages, we have been simply following the events of really just a couple of days. It seems longer, doesn't it? We've been a couple of weeks in here already. But it was just this very short time period, and the time continues to go by slowly as it would be. And so we're just going to go through these eight or nine verses here this morning. And giving consideration to what God was now doing. Remember, let me just take you back just a tiny bit. So we begin this whole story with them healing this lame beggar. And when you think about it, what were they doing? They were going about their normal life. They weren't going out and doing ministry. They were going out and they were going to the temple, something that they usually did. Along the way to the temple, God intervened. Now, interestingly enough, it's not like God put a brand new beggar there that had never been there. This beggar was always there. They'd probably seen him many times as they passed by. And I don't know what their response at other times may have been, if it was anything. But we saw what it was this time. And then we saw with great delight this wonderful healing and miracle power of God. And at the same time, we saw another group of people off to the other side who were going crazy. They were losing their minds over what was taking place. And so these men were put in a situation where just in a period of this one day, because we're still on day two. This is it. The first day, they did this wonderful thing. Things happened. They had a short little kind of hearing. They were put in jail. And then day two came, and that's what we read the very beginning of this, where they threatened them some more. Let's threaten them some more. See, maybe that'll stop them from doing what they're doing. But it doesn't. It never does. Not for the true Christian. You can threaten us all day long. And the truth, and we need to be ready for a time when that may come in our lives. But looking at it in this story. So here we are in day two. We're coming down. Further, it doesn't even tell us what time of day. It could be afternoon, evening. It says, and when they had been released, they went to their own companions. Important to see here. Who did they go to? They went to the other apostles, those other men that had been serving with them for the last 3 years with Jesus. And they reported all that the chief priest and the elders had said to them. And so, you can almost hear them, and, you know, they're saying something, and then John saying, oh, when they said this, you know, they wanted to make sure that there was nothing being left out. And they didn't have time nor the means to take notes. So they had to recall all this from memory, and we know that God was working this, and they reported all of these things to these ones. And this reporting of the events, it was not done as bragging of any sort, you know, it was some. And I know that, you know, I was in that situation. I might want to brag, well, God was with me and this and that, or I said the right thing. But no, it wasn't that. Or gossip. It wasn't gossip that they were saying or spreading anything of that sort. But rather to give some knowledge of the opposition that Christians were now, again, let me remind you, at the very beginning of the church age, they were facing. And nobody, you know, when you get saved, nobody kind of tells you, and by the way, the world's against you. You know, they're telling you the good stuff. Jesus loves you, and he's doing this, and you need to repent of your sins, and you're going to heaven. Nobody's telling you the world's going to hate you. That comes a little bit further down the road. But there was no further down the road. This was still the new church. There was nobody to tell them because nothing had happened until now. So we see this, and this opposition that they were facing then, I just want to remind you, that has not let up in the whole history of the church. Now, when I say that, it lets up in certain areas at times. Remember, when we think of the persecution of the church, and I want you to all pay attention to this. When we think of the persecution of the early church, this was not something that was like across the board. It was everywhere all at once, and all the Christians were in hiding. It was in certain areas, and other areas were unaffected. And then it would move to another area, and the areas where it had been were no longer affected. And this is the way it has continued to go. Now, there are some places that have never endured much persecution at all. And praise God for them, people. Don't look at them and say, oh, shame on them. Praise God, that because they will face persecution of some sort themselves. And it is, let me say, it's a good thing for godly men and women, as we see here. They went to their friends and they reported what had been done. And they were, in one sense, reporting, but also seeking the counsels and the prayers of one another within the church. You know, and so just a reminder, you are not alone. Sometimes as a Christian, you feel like I'm out here all by myself. You are not alone. If you're in any way part of a good and healthy church, you have people that are praying for you every week. May not be the same people every week, but you have people that are praying for you every week. People that actually care about what's going on in your life. And so we even ask each other oftentimes, pray for me for this thing, pray for me for that thing. You ever just go to people and say, hey, pray for me? And they look at you and say, for what? No, just pray for me. You're just asking, just pray. Pray for me. We need to do that at times. But they were seeking the counsel and prayers of one another, and so that they could trust God in all areas of their life. And that's important for us to understand. Most of us, most of our lives in this country, we're going through pretty decent times. We go through hard times. We go through struggles and trials and testings of all sorts, both from the world and from Satan. But we need to keep pushing on. We need to keep the contact close with one another. I hope that some of you call others in the church throughout the week. And not just when we do our Wednesday night prayer meeting, but just calling and checking with people. And by the way, just always to let you know, I'm available most any time that anybody wants to call. I've got lots of time. Remember, we just sang Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the path of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffers. Well, I'm hoping that none of those are us. But his delight is in the law of God. And I love that part. I didn't expound on that because I knew it was in here. His delight is in the law, and in his law he meditates day and night. There's this balance that we have in Christianity. For the Jews, it was all pretty much law. Although grace was there, they weren't preaching it. They weren't hearing it very much. It was there. For us, many want to do away with, well, we're not under the law anymore. And you hear it all the time from other Christians. Well, we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. No, you're still under the law. You're just not saved by the law. And neither was anybody ever. And so we need to have that balance in our life, because each of us wants to be, in that verse 3 where it says, and he will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water. And then the picture is a tree that is planted well, where it will have all that it needs so that it might grow. And that's what we have as Christians. And with the Lord Jesus Christ, and in and through the church, and most importantly, through this word that God has given us. I hold this up and I'm thinking, this is heavy. And when I think that in that sense, I'm thinking, it is. And it's hard to carry all this in your hearts and minds, but knowing that it is necessary for the work that God's doing. Even Jesus, during his darkest hour, right before the cross, what did he do? He sought out prayers and concern from his own disciples. He asked them, stay awake and pray. Can you do that? He's still asking us, stay awake and pray. And truth is, they couldn't. You know the story. And if this is true of Jesus, if this is true of Jesus, who is the God-man, who is God manifest, then how much more is this support of our fellow men needed among the Christian church even today? And again, you know, I don't know that I said the title of the sermon is Grant Us Wisdom to Speak Wisely and Courage to Speak Boldly. Because that's what we want. It's what we should want. That we should want this wisdom, and we should want the courage, because this is one of the things I think hinders a lot of Christians. They're afraid to speak to others about Christ because they're afraid what they'll think about them. And hardly do I ever hear anybody say, well, I can't stop myself because I want God to only think good about me. And so the opposite's there. We want to be people that are seeking God, and we're seeking God not only on our own and by our own initiative and by the methods that God has given us, but we're seeking them through the help of other people. God sought prayer as Jesus from his fellow men. How much more then should we? So they reported this, and now they're standing, and when they had heard this, again, they're talking about the other companions, they lifted up their voices to God with one accord, or as it would be with one mind, and said, O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and all that is in them. What a proclamation. There's nothing said about these wicked men and what they were trying, or even the actions that took place. There's just this proclamation, O Lord, it is thou that has done this. And basically, if they're going into that, they're going further. And we'll get into that, but I'm going to just stop right there for a moment. And notice that upon hearing this, upon that first reaction to these saints was really something we come and we do each week. We praise God. They was to praise God in so doing, calling to mind which they had already learned from Scripture. And this is what we should be doing when we praise God. How often in your prayers do you recite God's word back to him at times? I mean, you may not do it word for word, but you're telling him what he's already told you. A good lesson for us to learn in understanding the necessity of reading God's word regularly. And I don't want to put you to the law and say, when you have to do this, you have to read this much a day. You need to be reading the Word of God regularly. But the truth is you need to be doing it with great joy in your heart. You don't want to just do it because you're obligated. If you're ever feeling that way, then you need to get down and you need to pray and you need to ask God to fix you, because something's broke inside right at that time. We need to pray, read the Word of God, because we love the Word of God. This is my study all the day. It makes me wiser than my foes. Its precepts with me stay. What beautiful words we have in there. Why should we never not want to read the Word of God? And yet, being sinners that we are, we struggle with this. They are not just talking among themselves, by the way, but with one mind they are praising God. They weren't even questioning, well, why did they do this and what? And there was none of this. What are we going to do? What are we going to do now? This has happened to you. What about us? Maybe we should go into hiding. None of that. One mind, they're praising God. And the word that is used here for Lord is worth taking note of. It is not the usual word kurios, but despotes, or master, absolute ruler, that is used here. They were praying to the Lord with recognition that he and he alone has that absolute power, and that no government, no group of people, no religious authority can sway the purposes of God. This is what their hearts were filled with. They could not defeat God's will. And these men knew this. And what a great comfort. That thought must have been the when it was brought to those who were blessing God for his rescue on the one hand and feeling a little bit of apprehension about possible persecution. I mean, let's be honest. Nobody likes jail. Nobody likes pain. Nobody likes people coming after you and trying to destroy your life, is what some forms of persecution are. But if we know who Christ is in our life and what he has done and what he's desiring to do in the lives of many that are the elect of God, we should be able to rejoice and we should be able to find that great comfort that we need when we're dealing with these struggles. These people in the early church, let me just say it this simply, they were a praying people and they were a joyful people. I didn't even go, I was thinking this week about going on further into the next section of this, but it's a particular section that needs particular care. But they were a praying people. They were a joyful people, and they will show themselves to be a very generous people. One writer stated that a prayerless heart, a prayerless home, or a prayerless community is one of the saddest things in the world. And you can take it on any of those three levels, dealing with the individual, with the home, and with the community you live in. And when I say that, I would say the church community. What a blessing for us who are part of God's family. What an extraordinary blessing for us to be able to come to God. Just that we're able to come to God and that he listens to us, that he cares about us. That we're able to do this and to know that regardless of how things might turn out in the end, that our God is on our side. And when I say I want to be careful, because I don't want to make it seem like you're the center of his universe, but he is on your side. Because he has chosen to be. And he will always do that which is good for you. And when I say good for you, I say good for you in the long run. Because what God does is sometimes not good for us at the moment. Or we don't feel it to be good for us. But he knows what is and isn't. Let me go down to the next three verses here. 25 down through 27. Well, let me finish up with the last verse. O Lord, it is thou who didst make the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the Holy Spirit, through the mouth of our father David, thy servant, didst say, why do the Gentiles rage and the peoples devise futile things? The kings of the earth took their stand and the rulers were engaged together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly in this city they were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel. So remember, I talked about this psalm earlier and didn't point this out, that, you know, this was written in the time of the psalmist when he was saying this. But now it's being put together for the people in that day. This same thing is taking place. So it's nothing new under the sun type thing. The nations are still standing against God. For truly in this city, truly in this city, he's emphasizing that. There were gathered together. And again, it's not blamed on one person. It's pretty much everybody's taking the blame here. It's Herod, it's Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel. Pretty much that's everybody's involved in this. And so what we see in these are clearly statements in verses 25 through 27 of the reality of not only during the time of David were people rebelling and plotting against God, but to this very day when this was written, and let's be honest, to this very day that we live in, they are rebelling against God. Psalm 2 was not just a psalm to sing in praise to God for his dealing with his enemies, but a clear picture of the sinful character of mankind, period. And that's where it speaks of the heathen nations. It speaks of everybody outside of God's church when we're looking at it today. It is no longer the Jews alone who must take responsibility, and never was really, for the death of Christ, but Herod and Pilate and the Jews and the Gentiles. It was man's sin, or more specifically, one man and our own sin that made it necessary for Christ to have to go to the cross, to the grave, made it necessary for him to be resurrected and defeat death so that any of us might be saved to eternity with our God. Nothing's changed, folks. And so if you're waiting for something to change, basically, here's what we're waiting for: the end time. We're waiting for the Lord to come back. That's going to be the big change. Till then, it's going to continue much the same as it has been. It'll look a little different. It'll come. Satan dresses things up in different packages all the time, you know. So, oh, this isn't that, this is this. No, it's the same thing. It's the same old sin that stands against God. We can, today, again, we see the same thing taking place throughout the whole world, where groups and even whole nations, can you believe it? And I say this is the Muslims, especially. They stand against the God of the Bible completely. They devise evil plots against God and against Christ. And when I say this, their desire is to kill the Christians. Basically, their desire is to kill Christ if they could. They tried that already. Verse 27 and 28 says, "For truly in this city there were gathered together against thy holy servant Jesus, whom thou didst anoint, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, to do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur." Verse 27 and verse 28 show us clearly the truth of God's sovereignty. "To do whatever thy hand and thy purpose predestined to occur." And that is God's sovereignty in all situations. Sometimes we look at it and say, well, yeah, in the big relationship. No, in everything, in every area of your life, God is sovereign. The sooner you can pick up on that and grasp it and embrace it, make it your own, adopt it, as we say it in Synod. When you can adopt that and say, okay, then when the bad stuff comes, you can say, well, I guess this is part of God's purpose and plan. He knows what he's doing, even if I don't. And this is where we have to live our lives here a lot, because things don't go our way all the time. They go our way some of the times, and we go, praise God, he is good. And then they don't. And we need to be able to say, praise God, he is good, in the same way, with the same heart. I don't like what I prayed this very prayer to God. I don't like what you're doing. I'm like a kid. You know, I don't like what you're doing. But, I always throw in that but I know that you know what you're doing. And that should be the kind of prayer we pray. Knowing he is God, eternal, all wisdom, all knowledge. He knows what's going to take. When that event doesn't take place in your life that you're looking for, that relationship doesn't work out the way you thought. And I know, because I went through this when I was young. I wish I'd have known Jesus back then, because I went crazy through all that stuff. I wish I could have said, well, God, that didn't go the way I wanted, but you're God and I'm not. and you know what you're doing. So thank you for whatever you did, even though I don't like it. And why should we ever try to be dishonest with God? Tell him, I don't like it. This stinks. Phrase it how you want, as long as you don't get vulgar. But just let him know, this is how I feel. But then always keep coming back and keep coming back. Because this is where we want to direct other people that are going through much more crazy times than we are. Most of us have fairly decent health most of the time. There are people, Christians, that love Jesus that are laying in hospitals or nursing homes, and they've been there for months, sometimes years. They can never make it to church, and the only church they get is when somebody goes to them. Or now they can get it on sermon audio or other Facebook things. But you know what I mean. So, and we don't even think about that often. We forget how blessed we truly are, and we don't need to have God remind us. We need to take some responsibility, and we need to remind ourselves on a regular basis. I am blessed. So all you have to do is walk down the street and say, I'm blessed, I'm blessed, I'm blessed. And it'll come to your mind a whole bunch of different things that you're blessed for. So again, this shows us God's sovereignty. Sovereignty in all situations. The confidence of these early apostles and disciples clearly had that they had in God was derived from the fact that he had already proven himself more than a match for any who came against him time and time again. We have that. That's the history of Israel and all that God did for them. Time and time again, he did that. They had this confidence. And we too should have this confidence in Christ. As we live out our lives, as we struggle and we have these events that take place and sicknesses and tragedies in our own homes, where we say, again, and there are times where I've actually said, God, I hate this. Not I don't like it, I hate this. But we always have to end that. But you know what you're doing, and you're God. Those plans that some have thought to use to derail the plans of God have been the very things that God has often used that he has intended to accomplish his very purpose. Remember, Satan thought he was winning. Satan thought he was winning when he was getting Christ on the cross. And yet, all he had to do was read. And you knew all along this is where it was going. Christ was going to the cross. This was God's plan of salvation. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that thy bondservants may speak thy word with all confidence. While thou dost extend thy hand to heal, and signs and wonders take place through the name of thy holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, I love this part, and when they had prayed, the place where they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness. These last few verses, the prayer here in verse 29 to 28 is not, let me rephrase, it is not that God would deliver them from persecution or deliver them from their enemies that they were about to face, but that he would strengthen them, that he would give them that wisdom, that he would cause them to be able to speak this word of God with great boldness. Now, when I say boldness, it's kind of like trying to get the word here. Doesn't mean you're doing it just being brave, but you're doing it because you know it's real. You know it carries within itself the word of God, carries power. And it has nothing to do with your character when you speak boldly for Christ. And you're speaking of him, and you're speaking of his character, and you're speaking of it because you've seen what the goodness of God has done in your own life, where it has led you and directed you. That God, their prayer was that God would display his powers through healing. Now, and remember, this is that early period in the church where all these things were necessary, through healing, through wonders, and through signs, all done through the name of Jesus. Remember, they did not have the fullness of Scripture that we have today. They didn't have the book of Acts to look at and say, hey, look what God was doing. They had what was there already, but now we have this fullness. And so the healing, I mean, God still heals, and God still does wonders. He still actually gives us signs, but not in the same way where it was these gifts that were given to certain people in the early part of the church. So again, when I say they did not pray that God would, you know, help them or deliver them, more that he was going to, they wanted to be used. And they understood clearly that all that was taking place in their lives, it was about Jesus, because that's what the Christian life should be. Now, when I say it should be all about Jesus, that doesn't mean that everything else stops. You have things in your life you need to do, but all that we do, we should be doing as unto the Lord, as done in a way that is honoring and pleasing God. And this, by the way, includes your work day. Remember, we're not supposed to do it just to give our bosses lip service. We're supposed to do it and do our work as unto the Lord himself. Sometimes we do it better than others, but this is what we're called to do. So it wasn't about their own welfare, their own safety, or even their own comfort that they were concerned about. They were concerned about Christ being proclaimed and preached boldly throughout the world. They'd already seen great things happen, even just in these few days. We're still at the very, very, very beginning of all this. And these things are taking place, and they're seeing it. It was indeed all about Jesus for them. And I call you to that. We each of us need to have a greater desire in our life to serve God more. Each of us need to love more. And I'm saying love God more than we do. And each of us need to love this world. God has called us. Now, again, there's that balance between God is love and God calls us to obedience. We are called to love the people in this world. And since we don't know which ones God has chosen, we just treat them all as if they are all chosen until they show themselves not. And there is a time to walk away from people. But I think too often we walk away too quickly. So the question is, for you, what about you? Today, as you sit here in God's church, as you have come to worship him this afternoon, who comes first in your life? Now, let me just make this simple for you, because there's really only two choices. You or him. Because all the other people in your life are all part of you. But you or him. Are we praying, saints? Do I stress enough the need for prayer in the church? I think sometimes I stress it a little too much, but this is who we need to be. This is... what are these people doing here that day? They're hearing a report, and then they are praying. And they're seeking God for his goodness, because that's what we do. They were praying, saints. So what I have to ask, again, another question. Are we praying, saints, or are we playing, saints? When I say playing, I'm saying it in two different words. Living out or acting out in our lives. Do we look like saints, but are we praying saints? And the other thing is with the playing saints, having fun. A lot of people in this world want to have fun. I want to have fun. I love fun. Fun's a lot more fun than misery. But it is. Easy statement. But we're not called to have fun. I mean, and I'm glad we do and we get to, but we're called to service. Do we just act like we're people that love God? Or are we indeed people that love God? Well, the truth is only you can truly answer that. Only you and the Lord know those things. And lastly, we see in here that God honors their selfless prayer. He honors their prayer. He accepts their praises and rewards them. He rewards them with yet more of the Holy Spirit. And I just, when I read that, it's just, you can feel the power. Again, it says the place was shaken, the whole place. You don't see that things happen like that today. But God does some wonderful and extraordinary things still to this day. He gives them exactly what they ask for. And we'll see this, not only, we see it in the writing of the letters. We see it in the writing of the gospel. We see it in lived out in this book of Acts. He gives them that boldness that they prayed for because they prayed, let me say this, this is important. They prayed with selfless motives. They weren't praying to get something good for themselves. They were praying that God would do something in them because they were seeking only for the building up of God's kingdom. Again, the question is, how do we pray? More specifically, I'm asking you, how do you pray? Are we men and women of like mind to these people? I like to think we are. Even though we don't get to see the extraordinary signs and wonders, we see God answering our prayers. We see God giving us many times, or let me say we feel God giving us that peace that only He can give us in the most horrible circumstances. If we take the time to go to Him and to acknowledge Him for who He is, He still does wonderful things. He does them, and He loves doing them for His children. Sometimes His children just don't want to spend enough time with their Heavenly Father. So the encouragement this week, again, is have your hearts and minds set on serving God wherever He has you in your life. Commit yourself to a deeper resolve to study the Word of God more on your own. Not the Sunday stuff, but through the week stuff. And not because you have to, but because you want to. Pray and ask God. If you don't have that desire in your heart, pray and ask God to give you that desire. And the same for prayer. If you don't have that desire to pray to God, even that you can ask God. And you can tell Him, God, I am weak. I struggle. Help me. Help me. Your Heavenly Father loves you. He wants to help you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to continue that great work of sanctification that He's doing. But He wants you to remember the catechism, to enjoy God, to love God and enjoy Him forever. Well, the picture is the enjoyment's supposed to start now. Now, I mean, we're going to enjoy Him more in heaven, or when the new earth comes about, however you want to see this. But we should be enjoying Him now. And sometimes we have to even pray and be honest with God and say, God, I'm not enjoying You as much as I should be. God, help me. So let's pray. Father God, I pray for each of us here today. We each have different struggles. We each of us have different sins that we're battling in our lives. But each of us does desire to know you more, to live our lives more according to your purpose and plans, according to your will and commands. Lord, that you would help us to truly want to serve you with all of our lives, whether we be in business, in church work, working in restaurants, whatever you have us doing, homemakers, teachers. Oh, Lord, you have us in different areas, but you can use each of us in that area where you've put us. So, Lord, help us, each of us, to be more committed to you, and help each of us to love you more, realizing how much you have loved us. And we pray all of this.